So last week was the super fast introduction to the episode that we're going to try to continue this week. So it's a new episode of the Energy is Love podcast. I believe it's episode 134. I'm looking right now. Yes. No, 135. Episode 135 of the Energy is Love podcast. Find all information about the podcast at energyislovepodcast.com. I'm going to say podcast a bunch more times because I like that word. So this podcast episode is brought to you by InBody Yoga Academy. InBody is located at 1597 South, 1100 East. Go to their website, InBodyYogaAcademy.com. InBody offers introductory public yoga and meditation classes as well as workshops. It's an award-winning school for yoga and mindfulness teacher training. Their focus is on the deeper practical aspects of yoga, philosophies, mindfulness, psychology, and emotional wellness for your body and mind. So if you've never practiced yoga before, you can go check them out. They're open 7 days a week, classes all the time. Go to their website, find out more information. And if it's your first class, it's free. Oh, also coming up in May 1st through the 5th, they are having a yoga therapy and mindfulness retreat. You can find their information at InBodyYogaAcademy.com. See, these are getting super fast and super quick, so you don't have to fast forward through them. And if you are still fast forwarding through them, I can't blame you. I would too. But this episode, Cold Feet with Steph and I, it was fun. It came out of nowhere. We sit down and record. Sometimes we have ideas of what we're going to be talking about, and oftentimes we don't. We just sit down and push play and hope for the best. And we kind of didn't have an idea for this episode, even though I don't think we even talked about the fact that we didn't have an idea for this episode. We just sat down and started recording and immediately found this wonderful topic to dive into and talk about. I could tell you what the topic is, or you could just continue to listen like you're going to and find out all the beautiful things that this episode holds. At the end of the episode, we also hint at next week's episode, which hopefully you will stay tuned for. You will, because you're a listener and a subscriber and a downloader. A downloader, that's a funny word. What are you? I'm a downloader of podcasts. Anyways, I will stop rambling. I will let you get to it now. Episode 135, Cold Feet with Stephen Craig. Here we go.
You're listening to the Energy is Love podcast.
Energy is love.
The Energy is the Love podcast.
The Energy is Love podcast.
Energy is love.
The Energy is Love podcast.
The podcast for the universe.
The Energy is Love podcast.
I think maybe I should have grabbed socks.
Oh, you can go grab some.
I've got blankets. I'll be okay. That's what I thought. That's what I was thinking in the moment. Had my foot in my hand. Was like, oh, my toes are cold.
You don't want to go grab some real quick? No, it's okay. Are you sure?
Yeah, I'll just talk about my cold feet throughout the episode. Maybe that's what this one's about, is cold feet. What do you get cold feet about?
We could do a whole fucking 300 episodes on what we get cold feet about. That's a great... What do you get cold feet about, baby? Besides the fact that your feet are actually cold right now.
Commitment.
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 What's the most... I was going to ask you, what's the most recent thing in your mind that you can remember getting cold feet about? But obviously, we know what that is, you and I. And obviously, we're not going to talk about that on the podcast right now.
Right. Oh, okay. Well, there, I have cold feet about the possibility of talking about that on the podcast in the future. So there's my most recent.
Did you have right cold, now? You had cold feet when we got married, right?
Well, that makes it sound like a jerk.
No, it doesn't. It's just the reality. It's okay.
Yes,
I did. It doesn't mean that you didn't want to marry me.
I did want to marry you very much.
You just
with my cold feet.
And why do you think it is, like, why do you think that that's the term, cold feet?
I don't know. Maybe it's because you feel frozen. You feel frozen in your step. You can't move.
You think so?
Feet, I don't know. It makes sense to me.
That does make sense.
You're frozen where you are.
Did you see that there's a Frozen sequel?
No, I didn't.
Yeah. I'm so excited.
They didn't let it go.
I never saw the first one.
How is that possible? Well, because I think we've talked about that on the podcast because I was completely shocked. Like how in this house have you...
How in this Frozen loving house?
Right. And I think Frozen was before... I think it was before we even got together.
I think so too. It's old.
Yeah.
Or
is it old?
I don't know.
It's not old.
I don't know.
Kind of,
I haven't
maybe
seen it because I'm a grown man.
with daughters.
All of our children are grown.
No, they're not.
Like if all of our children were 3 or 4 or 5 or 6 years old, then I would have seen Frozen 63 times at this point in my life, I'm sure. How many times have you seen Frozen?
A bunch. A bunch. And like, we still go to
Disney kids movies?
Yes. Yeah. So you're like,
well, I have
grown
standards.
Man with grown children. Yeah. I don't watch
Frozen
you
shows.
Do though. You just haven't watched that particular one for some reason.
Yeah, I don't know why. So why did you have cold feet when we got married? Bum, bum, bum. What was the biggest factor that led to the feet getting cold prior to us? By the way, our anniversary is coming up.
It is. Oh, maybe that's perfect. Look at that. That was completely intended, by the way. That was...
intended?
Well, it fits. So I don't want to like pull it off as like, wow, that worked out well. I'm like, so ha ha ha. I was strategic.
What was the biggest thing?
Well,
do you not want to say?
I love you so much, and I'm so happy we're together.
However, that was the biggest thing.
I didn't want to be trapped in a crappy marriage. I didn't want to be stuck again. I didn't want to feel like I couldn't. Not that you gave me any signs of that, or like I don't know. I had no intentions of
ever getting married again.
Yeah, like zero. I did not want that because it was like been there, done that. You know,
just wanted to keep it real.
I didn't want it to turn to shit. I didn't want pain. I didn't want to be stuck. I wanted the freedom to like be done at any given point. And the only thing I had to do was say, bye, you know? Well, I wouldn't say I would more than likely tell you I can't do this anymore because that was me. But I wanted the freedom to, I wanted to run if I needed to run. I didn't want to be stuck. I wanted it to work. I wanted us to be together. But in the event that it's not like if something better comes along, I want to run. In the event that I start feeling unsafe or if it starts going to shit, I didn't want to be stuck. I wanted to be able to go. But by the way, I love you and I want to spend the rest of my life with you and I want an out plan. So go ahead. You did really good at navigating those waters. You were scared too. It wasn't just me. Yes. And everybody else. It's not just me. He was scared too. You were scared too.
I was scared.
Yeah. I may have been more scared than you, but I don't know.
So we loved our wedding day.
It was beautiful.
Yeah. It was absolutely beautiful. What would you have changed about it?
What would I have changed about our wedding day?
Yes. By the way, this will be our 4th anniversary for those listening.
Bam, bam.
What's that? That's the Michael Jackson song that starts with a horn. That just popped into my head when I heard that horn.
I can't even like follow that.
But we're not going to talk about. Have you seen what's going on with Michael Jackson?
Is he not dead anymore?
No, he's dead.
Well, no.
We're not going to talk about Michael Jackson because we can't talk about Michael Jackson anymore.
What?
You haven't seen?
No, I don't pay attention. I don't live on social media.
There's a HBO documentary that was recently released that some of his alleged, apparently you have to say alleged, victims of him molesting all sorts of people back in the day came forth. And it's like this hard-hitting documentary. I don't know. I haven't watched it.
Okay. But
that's why we can't talk about Michael Jackson, because apparently people have opinions. And
we're not supposed to have opinions?
We're not supposed to talk about Michael Jackson. Don't talk about Michael Jackson.
What? Who? Exactly. I don't know what's going on here. I don't know how that came up. You said that. Those were your words.
Those were my words. That goddamn horn. Who? What are we talking
cold
about?
Cold feet. Wedding. Yeah. What would I have changed?
What would you have changed about our wedding? We wouldn't have invited Michael Jackson.
I've never thought about that. So I guess I would, I wouldn't have changed. I would have changed if I could do it now. I would be. What are you pointing at?
I was just making a noise. Cards, oh. No.
I got freaking spooked. I got so scared. I got so scared. I didn't. I really was happy and I wanted to marry you, but I was afraid of being too happy about it because then that would have like been too much.
Oh yeah. God forbid.
I know. Right. But in my mind that would have been too much because then it would have been scary if I liked it too much. And then to top that off on this, like you like to say, riddle me that motherfucker. I didn't want you to know how scared I was. Because then you would think I didn't want to marry you. And I really did. I didn't want you to know how much I wanted to marry you. But I was terrified to marry you. Aha. Go ahead and live in that brain. I would have found a way to talk to you about that in more detail. And then been more present and honestly more helpful. Because
I was scared
and you...
I had to do everything.
Because I wasn't... I'm sorry.
Don't be sorry.
I wasn't... I think I was just a little not ready. I think it was just a little too fast. And it was super fast. Like, our getting engaged wasn't fast. But the time that we had of being engaged was super fast. And it was perfect. And like the numerology of it all, I'm so glad we got married when we did. And it was absolutely perfect. But it was like, I didn't really have any, I like breathing time. I like to breathe a little bit into decisions. And it was like this beautiful thing. We're engaged. And oh my gosh. And oh, wait, we're married. Like we're doing it now. It was just super fast. I think I needed more of an adjustment period in our engagement. But I don't know. I was so scared. And I didn't want to make a wrong decision because, gosh, I don't know. I was afraid of what the paper meant. And I didn't want the paper to mean we were trapped or stuck. I wanted it to be just like a symbol, it's like more that we were like our love, our commitment, more of a symbol, but not like, but it felt like. Marriage doesn't feel like that sometimes. Sometimes it feels like a prison sentence. And I was afraid. I've been in a prison sentence. So it's not that, you know, I was so scared. I'm sorry.
No, you don't have to apologize for being scared.
But I'm so happy. And I wouldn't change a thing because I got to see. Sorry. Okay. Every time you look up your cards, I think you're pointing at me to adjust or something.
Sorry, I'm looking at my Z cut.
Yeah. And I'm like, what am I doing? Where am I? Do I need to move? Am I smacking my lips?
No. I would change one thing.
What was that?
The weather.
It was a little chilly.
Yeah. I would have changed the weather simply so that we could have made better use of our beautiful backyard.
Yeah.
Yeah. For those that weren't at the wedding, we got married in our backyard.
Which was beautiful.
We have a huge willow tree that we actually record. I was thinking of this the other day where it has been warm enough, not today or the last few days, but it's been warm enough where we can start recording outside again. And I'm excited for that. I love that. Yeah. But we got married under the same big willow tree that we record podcasts under from time to time in our backyard. And some of my best friends from growing up prepared like wonderful barbecue and smoked meat. And yeah, it was really, really nice. We had a great turnout. But because of the weather, everybody was crammed into the house or into the garage, which at the time was full of a ton of stuff. So I would have changed the weather. And that was all. Our honeymoon. I think we, for some reason, we intuitively killed our honeymoon. We had the absolute best honeymoon, hands down. Like, if you are in the process of getting married, if you're engaged and you want a really good idea for a honeymoon, do what we did because it was spectacular. But we're not going to tell you about it. No, what we did for our honeymoon was the day after we got married, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So we rented a car so we could have a fun car, like a nice fun car rather than our boring old minivan that we love, but
I don't remember a minivan.
Yeah. We rented a car and we got into the car in our driveway and broke out a pendulum and asked the pendulum what direction we should go. And then we went that direction. And we used that pendulum the entire time as far as should we go north, south, east, or west. And it took us on a beautiful trip and journey that was absolutely wonderful and spontaneous. And we got to see places that we had never seen before. And we got to go places that we had never been before. And we ended up in Colorado Springs.
Yeah.
We ended up in Colorado Springs and spent a couple of nights in Colorado Springs at this like super nice fancy hotel that was right smack dab in the middle of downtown. Do you remember the Tower of the Gods? The rock formation place that we drove through and went up and saw?
Why am I...
I think that's I thought what it
was
called.
I thought we had the kids with us for that.
No, fuck no.
We've
never taken the kids to Colorado.
No, but we were somewhere and there was like these... The kids were there for something. No. There was something like that in... I think it was in like Yellowstone on that trip. We found like these rocks and these... I don't remember what it was called though. Hold on.
Okay.
Because this is like, I need to straighten this out in my brain from what we saw with the kids and...
But do you remember Tower of the Gods that we went to?
Clearly.
It's okay if you don't remember
it. I don't. I'm refreshing my brain. Hold on.
The big, huge rock formation in Colorado Springs that we
That's
drove
in
through.
The Legend of Zelda. I'm getting video games.
Tower of the Gods?
Oh, my God. Tower of the Gods location. Hold on. Maybe that'll help me out.
It may not be called Tower of the Gods.
Well, I don't remember.
That's okay.
I'm sorry.
It's okay. We did that.
Help
that was
me
a thing.
Remember. I remember seeing so these they had stacked the big... rocks. Were they red?
Yes, big, ginormous.
We were with the kids.
No, we weren't.
Okay.
No, like we've never taken the kids to Colorado.
Is it in Colorado?
Because
I remember like Garden of the Gods.
Maybe that's what it is.
And we were with the kids.
No.
You are blending.
When the hell did we take the kids to Colorado?
I don't, okay. Hold on.
This is fascinating.
This is.
Podcasting, by the way.
Garden of the Gods. Oh, shit. You are right.
Colorado Springs.
Colorado Springs.
See?
Well, let me look at the pictures and remember.
And there's the big visitor center that we went to.
Oh.
You remember it now, right?
Your wife's a jerk.
She's not a jerk.
We did a lot of things on that honeymoon that I do remember. And we saw a lot of beautiful things. Oh, babe. Oh, I'm such an asshole.
You're not an asshole. It was awesome.
It was awesome. What did we see with the kids? We saw some rocks that were round and like stacked. Well, now I have to sort out my brain because the memories have merged.
We've seen some rocks.
They've
with the
intricate.
Took the kids to see some rocks. I said, happy fucking vacation. There's some rocks that we're going home.
How close was it to the beautiful drive? Beautiful, beautiful drive in this beautiful mountain that the edge of the road was right on the cliff that was like 50 miles down.
Yes.
Yes, 50 miles. It was that steep to our like very long fall and fiery death.
Which did not happen.
It did not happen. I was so scared. It was like driving like 20 miles and I was panicked. When you were driving, it was okay and I had to look away and I was still scared. But that one time when it came up when I was driving... It's a miracle that we're here. I was so scared. So that sickness, I can still feel that build up in my stomach. Maybe that's because my stomach's a little like from other things. But like, how close was it to that? Because
Did
we see the Garden of the Gods?
I
remember the right name. So that should tell you something.
Yeah, I didn't remember the
So it was in
right
here.
Name.
It's in here
what
somewhere.
What did I call it? Tower of the Gods?
You did. Zelda.
That section of the road trip was, I believe, coming down.
It was heading to Colorado.
Correct. I think it was coming down into Colorado Springs.
So when did we see the Garden of the Gods?
I don't know if it was the first day that we were there or the second day that we were there.
Let's say it's the first day.
Okay.
It was the first day, and I didn't have that great of a memory of it because I had a lot of fear on our beautiful drive.
It could
and
have.
So my brain had to
part mellow. Of your memory could also have been tainted by the night of margaritas.
Oh, it was a good night.
That was really fun.
We had a lot of margaritas.
Yeah, we just walked from bar to bar to bar to bar and drank margaritas at every bar.
It was like margarita happy hour everywhere we went.
Yeah.
It was so good. There's a lot of margaritas.
How different do you think we are from when we got married?
I think we are very different.
It's amazing, right?
I want to say like night and day. We're still us, but...
And it was only 4 years ago.
Yeah, we're different people.
We're way different.
I would marry you now without fear.
Would you?
I would marry you now without fear. Shit.
You would still have great feet. Okay. Okay. We're doing this. We're doing this. Okay. I can do this. We're doing this.
You would be scared too. Shut up. I would. No, I'm happy. And if I did have fear today, I would talk to you about it.
Yeah.
You would know about it. I was also afraid of you, like, I was afraid of my own love for you, like how much I loved you and how deep it was.
How deep it was and what it stirred up inside of you.
Yeah. And then that was more of it wasn't just you I was hiding it from, it was me, because, oh boy. How did I let this happen? How did I, my plan being the crazy cat lady and not having to worry about ever being hurt by a man again. Just like, I'm like, no, I'm going to love with depths that I didn't even know existed in me. And the way I love you today compared to the way I love you then, like it's so much, it's so vast.
So different.
It is. It's huge. It's huge. It's so much different. It's so much bigger. Like if I had known this was in the works, like I don't know if we'd have been.
Besides you and I just being like incredibly unique creatures that have traveled together for a very long time, mm-hmm. What do you think would be like at some point in our life, hopefully in the distant fucking future, we'll have children of ours that are getting married. What if you could consolidate our experience down to a couple words of advice? And you don't have to think about our children. Just think about somebody that we know that is getting married. What would be some words of wisdom and advice that you would give them?
As good as it feels together, shit, I'm going to throw things and drop and tap because you have to you. Take the time, make the time, even though you're happy relationship and you're at that want to spend every waking moment stage together. Make sure you're really taking the time to listen to who you are and what your needs are. And really, just really have a good understanding, at least at that point in your life, of who you are and what matters. Because maybe you've done that. Maybe you have an idea of who you are. Maybe you know what your wants are. And this is how the relationship came together. You came to it not trying to be who that person wants you to be, or trying to fit, or feeling like you have a role to play or mold. Not, this is like for both. This is for the women and the men, you know. But when you get into a relationship that is, you're ready to alter your life with, there are shifts that happen in you. So then you have to reevaluate yourself again. Okay, who am I now? What is my priorities? What matters to me? What is acceptable for me? What do I want? And then let them have value. Be able to communicate them first with yourself, which will be the hardest. Like you have to say that out loud. And then with the other person and see... was like, okay, maybe I would, because the thought of the, like, marriage is scary. I'm like, oh, like you got to think about some shit. Like, do not just jump into that. What are you doing?
Are you sure you want to do this?
Like, hello.
I've got
do you
car
even
outside.
Know who you Why is that so loud? I feel like I'm screaming. It's too
screaming.
Loud.
You're
my
okay.
ears. Yeah. I don't.
Okay. Take okay. marriage out of the equation. No. What are you going to give advice in regards to having a loving, healthy, strong, committed relationship?
Don't be afraid to be you and let them be them. Be able to talk to each other. If you are not able to communicate who you are and what your needs are, and you are not able to hear who they are and what their needs are, then there's some evaluations that need to take place. It's not going to be perfect. It's not always going to be happy. It's not always going to be fun, but it should be most of the time. There should be more happy.
More happy than sad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that doesn't mean that if you're having a hard conversation and you're working through something together that is difficult for both of you, and you're in the midst of this whatever growth together, understanding from one another, that that's a sad time, because that's a building block. You're putting in, you're in that together, and you're figuring it out, and you're building together. I'm talking about the shit, you know, when it's shit, because sometimes it's shit, and that's okay. But it shouldn't be most shit. If it's mostly shit, then it's shit. Get out. Get out and go buy a cat. I'm just kidding. I'm totally naughty. I don't know.
One of the things that I think people, because I think about myself in the ignorance of youth, in the sometimes like blissful naivety of thinking that you understand what it is to be grown up and you understand what this whole thing called life is all about. And I think that as you were speaking, I was thinking about
hold on, I'm choking. I didn't help. I'm not done. Oh man. It's like in my lungs. It's gonna be a minute.
The fluids
I'm not
in your
lungs. This is in my lungs.
Okay.
Let's talk about marriage some more. Or maybe some. Okay.
Long-term.
Sorry.
You're okay. Do you want some water? I have water.
Yeah, let's get a drink to wash down my drink. Okay. We'll just try this. Go ahead.
Long-term commitment and continuing development and growth within a relationship is incredibly challenging.
Do you think this is like metaphorical? Like right now, you're a long-term commitment. I'm not that scared of marriage.
No.
I don't know why it's coming off like that. I'm not. I'm like super happy with you.
Yes.
I don't want it to change. I am definitely more afraid of us not being together than I am of us being together. It's not. I got this. I'm okay. It's just really hot. It's because I'm choking.
Yeah.
Long term.
Are you sure you don't want some water?
Yeah.
Okay. I think I'm trying to think of how to express this. Like the thing that I would say to somebody that's getting married, and the thing that I believe is that when you commit yourself to another person and commit yourself to a relationship that is, you know, it doesn't have to just be marriage. Marriage doesn't have anything to do with it. But when you commit yourself to a marriage type relationship, what happens, and I believe that this is kind of the only way that this happens, is you learn about yourself in a way that you never imagined. The process of being together with somebody else is going to bring out and flesh out and bring forth things inside of you that you were not able to see by yourself. I think you can do as much self-love, healing work, you know, finding who you are, what you like, what matters to you. I think you can do tons and tons and tons and tons of that work by yourself. And then I think you go to completely new levels that you didn't imagine were possible when you commit yourself to a relationship. Because I think that's the dynamic of two people coming together, where we each stand in front of one another and hold up a mirror and say, look at this, look at that. Have you seen this? Did you know that this was here? Look at that, right? And in the process of doing that, it's incredibly fucking hard. And it is going to change you. There is just no ifs, ands, or buts about it. You are going to change in that process. The decision that I would say is necessary is accepting that that's going to happen. Your partner is going to change, and you are going to change. And the way that you are when you get married, the people that you are when you get married, are not going to be the same people that are together 5 years from now, or 10 years from now, or 50 years from now. And if you hold on to the idea that that change isn't going to happen, and that you have to hold on to the way that you were, then it's going to cause nothing but contention and strife and all sorts of disconnect, because you will change. And if you don't want to change, then don't get married.
You're going to change anyways.
You are going to change anyways.
I know, it sucks. That scares me too.
But the depths of the change that takes place in a committed relationship because of what you do for one another in the process of highlighting and pointing out all the things that you don't want to look at, I think that can only take place in a committed relationship. And it doesn't have to be just marriage.
Yeah.
But I don't think that that takes place by yourself. Because however good you are at analyzing, feeling, thinking, looking at therapy that you go to, fucking retreats, you can yoga all day long, all of these different things that are incredibly good self-love practices, there's a whole nother level that exists when you connect with somebody else. And that's the part that I don't think people are really prepared for or aware of necessarily when they first start out in a relationship. And I don't think you can be aware of that when you're young, because you're dumb as a fucking box of rocks. Do you know what I mean?
I do not think marriage should be an option in your 20s.
No.
Like, at all. Like, it should be.
Yeah.
It should. Like, you can be in relationships. You can live together. And you should, like, I think it should be mandatory that you live by yourself. And that you live together. For how long?
2 years? 3 years?
I don't know, because I didn't do that.
Yeah.
And I wish I would have. Like, I really wish I would have lived by myself for a while. And just got to know me.
Yeah.
Before, you know, because you're, you know, the identity that you have as a child and in your family and then in school, and there's always other people. You never have a time. Like, you're this person at school, you're this person at home. You have to figure out where you fit in all of the world around you. So when you get to that stage in your life, and then you're going to work or you're going to school, to have that sanctuary to come home to where you are, it's just you there. Then you get to let you come out and then see, oh, okay, this is who I am. This is what I like. That's how I think it's a way to be very, that's a committed relationship, getting to know yourself, being intimate with yourself, finding out. And I'm not just talking about exploring, but yes, that too. But I think it's so important. Like, who are you when nobody else is around? To extend that time as much as you can so you figure out who you are, and then you know, you can bring that forward wherever you go. Yes, there's things that you have to, or you don't. You really don't. We think you do. But
can you be by yourself?
Can, like me?
No. What I'm saying is, like, do you know what I mean? Can you be by yourself? And if you can't, then why?
Yeah. Yeah.
Because that's going to be a big, you know, sign of something.
Yeah, it was.
It's different for everybody, right? But if you can't be by yourself, if you can't sit in the space of just you and your own thoughts, then you have some work to do.
I definitely had work to do.
We both still have work to do. Oh, yeah.
But I can sit by myself now.
Yeah.
I love it. I don't want to live by myself, not because I'm afraid of, like, I like living with you.
Yeah.
I love you. And, you know, our kids too.
They're all right.
Yeah. Yeah, I would think, I'm sitting here rubbing my arm, sorry. Like that whole change thing is scary. That is so scary. Commitment is scary. Change is scary. That's so funny. But I'm so... I love how much we've changed. Like, it's on this side of it. It's like, oh, man, that's awesome. That's beautiful.
Yeah. And it's the type of change that takes place is a lot of times, not all the time, and it doesn't have to always be this way. But the reality is, a lot of times the change that takes place is messy.
Yeah.
It's fucking dirty and messy and scary and dark, and it is not easy to navigate or move through. It's not like, I'm changing and I'm so happy and I'm embracing the change of, I now like strawberries where I didn't like strawberries before. And you're like, you fucking idiot. Like, it's not that type of change. That type of change takes place by yourself all day long. It's not a big deal. But this is like change on a like a molecular level, on a cellular level. And it's hard and it's messy. And just be prepared for it, right? Be prepared for the fact that you are woefully unprepared.
Right. And patience with it too.
Yeah.
Like, I could not, like, if we... Hello, stomach. If...
Hello, stomach, my old friend.
I don't think that the growth that we have done in our, like, together, the way that it, our relationship has changed, each of us, I don't think that that kind of growth would have been possible in our 20s. No. I don't know. Like, maybe, right? But I do not believe that that was possible. Just from... I don't believe it was possible. And that kind of makes me go like, oh, because most of this has happened later in our 30s. Mm-hmm. Like, it kind of makes me a little excited for the 40s.
I know.
I'm like, oh, what's going to happen? Like, this is, it's good. It's good. Things are going to happen. So that's, so I think 20s should be like, go be in your 20s. Go have fun. Go figure out who the hell you are. Go make mistakes. Go live your life. Be in relationships or don't, or like whatever. Just go have fun and don't. You know, I'm not saying marriage is a box. God damn it. I just think it should be all about self-discovery and self-discovery with yourself, self-discovery with others. And can we just tell them not to get married in their 20s? Like, just don't do that. Like, that's my advice. Don't do it.
Yeah.
Don't do it.
Wait till play you're 30.
With it. Wait till you're 30 at least.
Yeah.
I don't know.
That's okay.
Maybe don't come to me for advice on marriage. Find somebody who's like, definitely don't listen to anybody who says that you need to be what that other person needs. That it's like, yes, it's hard. Yes, it's messy. Yes, you have to put in work. Yes. But it should not cost you your soul. It should not. If it hurts more than it feels good, and if you are losing parts of yourself to be with that other person, mm-mm. Nope. No. You don't know that until you're in your 30s. Don't get married in your 20s. PSA.
PSA.
Public service announcement, yes. You're welcome. Oh, I think I have a lot of healing to do around that.
Around getting married in your
20s? Yeah, I think it's a really terrible idea.
Well, lucky for you, we're here.
Yes.
Yeah, lucky for you, you made it through.
I did not marry you in my 20s.
No, you survived and you're here. Communication. Hey, what?
Hold on. I feel like...
What? I got married in my 20s too. Actually, I think I got married when I was 19. Maybe not. Maybe 20. Yeah. So,
which is super common for where we live.
Correct. It's like, very normal in Utah.
What was I? I think I was 21.
Yeah.
Was I 20 or 21? My first. I guess it doesn't really matter. But like that's old in Utah. Like what?
Yeah, it's super common in Utah. Everywhere else in the world, it's like, what? What the, like, it's so not normal.
Did your parents really sign off on that?
Yeah, like, it's so not normal. We don't recommend it. But it's the culture here in Utah, and it's normal here in Utah. And that's okay. I was going to say something. What else? You look sad now.
Well, I feel like I'm speaking honestly about all these things. Mm-hmm. But it's just the fear portion. Like, I'm not going into detail about the way you lit up all this joy inside me.
Oh, yeah.
And how, yes, I was afraid, but honestly, I think I was more afraid of fucking it up than anything else because I didn't want to ruin it.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I didn't talk about all the joy and all the love and the excitement and how.
No, that's a good point because, you know, we want to prepare people. I mean, obviously, you and I are both sitting here thinking about our fucking kids.
Yes.
Right. So it's no surprise that we have anxiety over our children getting married someday. Like, that's no surprise. But it is a beautiful thing, you know, if you let it be. Mm-hmm. Right. The beauty that you and I have experienced in marriage and in coming together in our partnership, that too has taken work.
Yeah.
That doesn't, you know, there are aspects of it that just happen naturally, mm-hmm. but it takes work. Do you know what I mean? Just as much work as going through the difficult times. It takes just as much work to embrace and create and stay and feel and be present in the happy moments as well. And you know, it is beautiful. Those things change as well along the way. And if you let them and if you work at them, they just get more and more and more and more beautiful. And we have definitely experienced that.
I love looking at you.
But I don't know how to quantify that. I don't know how to, do you know what I mean? I don't think that there is, because everybody's different. So
everybody's different.
The advice that we would give or offer stems from our experience and our relationship and our lives and our journeys and our paths. And that's not going to apply to everybody, right? Mm-hmm. So I think there's some commonalities across the spectrum that everybody could benefit from. But at the same time, like, you got to make it your own. You and I definitely have gone through periods of our relationship and our marriage where if we're taking this conversation that we're having right now and this quote unquote advice that we are providing the universe, the people that are listening.
You're welcome.
If we would have applied this advice at certain stages of our relationship, we would have ended. We would not be together.
Absolutely.
Do you know what I mean? We have gone through some things that on paper are pretty much like a hard no. Like, yep, that's done.
Yeah.
Congratulations. You guys made a good effort, but it's time to move on.
Yeah.
And for whatever reason, we didn't do that. And, you know, so that's the other thing too, is that slippery slope of like waiting for people to change, hoping people will change, hoping that circumstances will change, having faith that things will change. That is a slippery, dangerous, treacherous fucking road that, you know, people have the hardest time managing. And everybody on the outside wants to say, walk the fuck away. Everybody on the outside says, oh, sweetheart, it's time to go. This is not good. You know, this is to the point where it's detrimental and it's hurting and you're destroying parts of yourself. And what do we say to that, right? What's the advice there? Hold on just a little bit longer?
No, absolutely not. It's not. And this is scary.
You know the thing that we did?
What?
We continued to work through that space.
We both worked at it too. Yeah. We both did. That was the thing. It wasn't just... I think we both did.
Yeah. Neither one of us, even at times of giving up and like quitting, there was still something running in the background that was working towards it, right? Some program that was still like, it's okay. We can like, We still are working. We're still doing it. Even though at times it's like, fuck that, we've quit.
I need this to be heard.
Let's hear it.
This has not been a physically abusive relationship. This is the stuff that we've had to get through is life stuff. Being afraid for your safety, being hit, being threatened, being touched anyway that is not welcome, and that is not what this conversation is about. If that is your situation, if that is your marriage, if that is your life, you don't work it out. You don't have to stay in that. And if you choose to stay in that because you are afraid to move and you're hopeful that when the time comes and you do leave, don't beat yourself up over staying as long as you did because you were doing the best you could. And it's scary. So in no way, if anybody that's listening and thinks that they just need to try harder and work a little bit harder and love a little bit more and maybe the abuse will stop, it's not going to. And get out. Get out. Get out any way you can. Get out. That's not okay. Very much lived my life in in a stand by your man kind of thing. Nobody in my family, and I'm not saying that my family was riddled with physical abuse, but there's abuse. There's abuse. You know, it's all over, but nobody ever, no matter what the situation was, got a divorce in my family. Well, I guess that's not true. My dad had divorced his first wife, but we'll say from my mom's side and the females and the prominent and what I know of my dad's side. Nobody, you didn't get a divorce. You got married and you stayed married. And that's how it was. Thick and thin, you get through it all. And it, usually the thick and the thin were the women conforming, you know, like this is what is expected of us as a woman. And you stand by your man, you make it work, and you're grateful. So I stayed in a relationship that I should not have been in. Let me rephrase that. I don't regret that relationship because it gave me I'm sorry that it worked out the way it did. And I wish it would have been better. And I wish I would have left sooner, but not before. I would have had our kids now. I don't know how to have this conversation. This is difficult. This is super difficult.
I couldn't tell.
But that is something I should not have stayed in. That is something I was so afraid of because I was so scared and I was so trapped and I felt helpless and I was afraid for not just my life, but for my kids' life. Like, how do you move in that and then say, sign me up for round two? No, I was fucking terrified. I was terrified. And I still have those moments where I am scared. I still struggle with anger it's not that. So if somebody's listening through a bruised body and a broken soul, trying harder and staying in it and communicating with that person your needs and wants, nope. You get to leave.
It's time to go.
You get to go. Get out. That is not this. If their quirks and maybe behaviors of themselves are hard for you to be around, like that's a little different. That's like, look at the triggers, look at the way you mirror your reactions with each other, your actions with each other. But physical, sexual abuse, if you're told that you're garbage, if you're told that, even if it's just, because emotional abuse is, those words never stop replaying. That is different. That is not our marriage. That is not the conversation of what growth can happen. That is get out.
PSA.
Okay, you really need to talk now because I got a little.
One day I want you to tell your story.
I just did.
Not all of your story.
That's pretty much.
One day I want you to tell your story and we'll do that episode one day when the time's right. And you can tell your story so that the people, so that Barb can hear it.
I didn't choke that time.
Yeah. Well, I don't know what the fuck else. Oh, one of the things that you were talking about, we can definitely transition and change gears here.
Yeah.
When I was thinking about shit that we could talk about on today's episode of the Energy Love podcast, I was thinking about podcasts.
Podcast. Wow.
I know.
Look at that.
Craziness. That's
a big leap.
Because one of the, I listen to a ton of podcasts. I probably listen to more podcasts than you do.
You do.
Yeah. And I realized that hopefully the people that listen to this podcast also listen to other podcasts. I think that
there's a reason I don't. This is it. This is, there's nothing better than this.
But so I want you and I to share some of the podcasts that we listen to. What?
None.
one of the podcasts that I'm listening to lately that I came across not long ago is Dax Shepherd's podcast. Yeah, I'm going to look so that I don't fuck up the name of it. It is called Armchair Expert with Dax Shepherd. And I've been really surprised at the show. It's, you know, I'm not a Dax Shepherd fanatic. I did like the new chips that him and Michael Pena were in. But it's a really good podcast. And he talks really openly about some of the same stuff that we talk about. And they get into a lot of the same stuff that we kind of talk about from time to time on the podcast. And then it's also silly and dorky and whatnot. But on a recent episode that he had that I listened to, he was talking about one of the things, because him and his wife, who is, do you know who his wife is?
Was it Kristen Bell?
Yeah.
No. But are they still together?
Yeah.
Are they?
Yeah. Like, okay. He talks about on a recent episode, one of the things that he has learned over the course of their marriage. I think they've been together for like 12 years or something. One of the things that he, and I'm butchering it, but he benefits from is recognizing like what is a, it's what you said, like their quirks, right? What is just like the quirk that you can deal with and kind of learn to love and not let be some massive issue that causes strife in your relationship. And what is an actual issue? And you and I both have our endless slew of quirks that drive the other person crazy. And those aren't those type of things that are going to end a relationship. It's the issues that come up. And the issues, I think, are the ones that come up because of that mirroring effect. The issues are the ones that get brought forth and that get repeated over and over and over and over and over again, where your little quirks, some of them change slightly, some of them shift, sometimes a new one presents itself, but those things aren't going to change. And I don't want them to change because that's who you are. Do you know what I mean? I don't care about all the little things that drive me nuts that you do. But the big things that come forth in our relationship, those big issues that present themselves, those are the things that have to be addressed and processed and felt and experienced and communicated and gone through and blah, 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 ad nauseum until things start to change and things start to progressively look and feel differently. And that can happen. So anyways.
No. You don't get to just get. So you're saying that I have big things that you want me to fix for our relationship. It's not just little quirks like you're like, go no. ahead, sweetheart. What are my big things?
Silly girl.
What are my big things?
It's not that you have
I'm big teasing things. You. I'm completely teasing you because it was funny.
So I listened to Armchair Expert with Dax Shepherd. This is like the podcasts that I listen to on a regular basis and then some that I listen to periodically. Mm-hmm. Obviously, fucking Rogan. Listen to Rogan. I listen to Burtcast. That's Burt Kreischer's podcast. I listen to Wife of the Party, which is Leanne Kreischer's podcast. I listen to the Everyman podcast. Let's see what else. I love Robert Sturman's podcast. He's been on this show in the past, so go listen to Robert Sturman's episodes on this podcast. But he's got a podcast called the Asana Society podcast. And he doesn't release episodes on a super regular basis, but I always listen when he does because they're good. And then This American Life, which if you're not familiar with This American Life, you should be. And Mormon and the Meth Head. And then Mental Illness Happy Hour is the other one that I have found recently. And I binged that one for a while, and then I got kind of burned out. So I'm taking a short sabbatical from it. But that's another one that I really like, Mental Illness Happy Hour by Paul Gilmartin. What about you, babe?
The Energy is Love podcast.
Oh, funny that you mentioned that.
I actually, the Mental Illness Happy Hour, I've listened to that one too. I definitely didn't binge. There was some... I don't know. I wasn't sure. I was detecting something in them. I'm not sure what it is. But I've kind of like not listened to that very much. I honestly, like, I go in binges of podcasts, but I don't binge a podcast. Every once in a while I do. Like Wife of the Party. And I did have one that I've started with one that's Women Wanting More that I'm enjoying. I've got a ton on
here. Is that the name of it?
Yes. There's a ton. Like, I'm going through all my podcasts because I have a ton that I want to listen to and some that I've listened to, like one here, one there. So, you know, I can go through and listen to 10 podcasts, but they're each from different people. So it's not that one. I did have an old binge that I listened to constantly. It was funny because she used to live in Utah and now she like lives in Canada or something. But I'm like embarrassed.
Why?
It's Sex Gets Real.
You're a dork. Why did you like whisper that?
Because I feel so like,
shh. I think the neighbors can see us.
I didn't even tell anybody I was listening to it because
Sex
like
Sex Gets Real.
It's actually really cool. So her name's Dawn Sarah, and I don't know where it's at now, but it is very much a, like, there's stuff that, you know, like with everything, there's stuff that, no, God, quit making fun of me. It you does know, everything, stuff. Everything doesn't resonate. There are things that I do not agree with.
Oh, when you listen to it.
Yes.
Okay.
But I really liked the fact that there was not shaming in your needs. She is a, how would she describe it? She would say she's a woman in a bigger body that just really empowers not just women, but like men, but she does empower women and empowers men to empower themselves and women as they are, you know, how sex can still be enjoyed and fun no matter where you're at in life, what stage, what your body's ability, whether through illness or size or trauma, however, and then the funness of it and all the things that can take place. And like, it's not just a, you know, empowerment thing. She's straight up naughty. There's some, I'm like, oh, wow, look at, you know, she'll have episodes on pegging. Okay. Like, there's all kinds of stuff. So I binged that for a while.
I'm sorry. I'm not familiar with what pegging is. Would you mind describing?
You're a jerk.
Does she still release new episodes or is it just all archived old stuff?
Oh, no. She's still releasing. Okay, I just good. Haven't. I've been looking for. I had a lot of sex questions, a lot of curiosity, and that's like I found a safe resource. And I think that really helped in that spot because it wasn't a shame for listening to that, even though I'm like, sex gets real. You know, it's hard to say. It was a safe thing to listen to, and it offered different perspectives, which is something that I needed. I needed a mind expanding on it and to hear different things and maybe to kind of try out like what are my thoughts, what are my views when I haven't had a lot of expression. So it was nice, you know, it was nice. I enjoyed that. And if I think it's a good resource and I would honestly like to like be able to provide that, you know, open up and like, oh, but the thing that I looked for, and I have a lot of podcasts on here that are like that. But I kept listening for somebody who had a story like mine. I kept listening, waiting for somebody that would say things that I understood.
Yeah.
That I'm like, oh, me too. So I could figure out what I needed to do with that because I'm kind of stuck. And I never found that. So I didn't listen to anything. I never came across somebody that was like, oh, you sound like me. okay, I can take a breath. So like the more I listen to, the more I'm like, oh, I must be really fucked up because nobody's got a story like mine. Like this is not, I know somebody's got to, right?
Yeah.
Somebody's got to, but where are they? Even on all these stupid sex podcasts, nobody has a story like mine. Nobody has confusion like mine. Nobody has questions like mine. Nobody, like, it can't be, but it is. And so I'm not going to get into that right now, so don't even try.
Okay. All I was going to say was, first off, do you have more podcasts you want to throw out?
Yes, let's do that.
Okay, hold on before you throw out more podcasts.
Yes.
That's another reason why I think you need to tell your story. I think the people that listen to this podcast, meaning our podcast, this podcast they're listening to right now, mm-hmm. because they do resonate with our stories and resonate with what we talk about, and they can relate to it and in hopes of learning different perspectives, all those kind of different things. I mean, that's the whole reason why we like doing the podcast.
Yeah.
All the podcasts that I listen to, with the exception of a couple of them, are for that exact reasons. The ones that I'm drawn to are the ones that I hear shit that I can relate to. I hear stuff that I think about. I hear ideas. I hear people talking about stuff that not only am I interested in, but that I feel, right?
Yeah.
I hear Dax talk about his feelings and what he goes through and what his experience is. And I can relate because I have those same feelings. I have those same experiences. I have those same thoughts.
Really?
And so it's like...
Dax Shepard.
I know, right? He's he's pretty woke.
Is he pretty woke?
He's pretty woke.
Is it like broke? Is it like woke is a joke?
Woke is a joke. But I think that's important.
Is he meta?
Shut up.
Is he so meta?
Shut up. But I think that you and I have to keep that in mind. And because all the feedback that we get about this podcast is that thing of they resonate and connect with what we share, what we talk about, how we express and what we express. And that's important.
Yeah.
And so if you're listening to this podcast, welcome. Thank you. And hopefully you resonate and connect with what we talk about. But when you search out podcasts and you're finding podcasts to listen to, I think that's a great barometer, right? That's a great tool to kind of look and see, like, is this shit that I resonate and connect with? Do I hear my feelings being expressed? Do I hear my thoughts being expressed by other people? Because we all have so many similar things and qualities and whatnot. So I'll stop on that tangent because I want to hear more of your podcasts. But
no, I don't even remember now.
That's why you need to tell your story, Stephanie, yeah. Because there are people that feel like they're alone. There are people that feel like nobody understands them. And if you speak your story, they will hear it.
It's too much to say.
Well,
it's going to be like
4 episodes.
You think? You see how easy it is for me to get shit out too. So you got to take into account, you know, something that's going to be a 5-minute blip is going to take me.
So you like 55 minutes to get to. What's Your Buckets?
I did.
Get Real Sex podcast.
Yeah.
So that's a
perfect... No, not Get Real Sex.
What's the name of it?
She's not a how-to. Sex Gets Real.
Sex Gets Real. Mm-hmm. So that's a perfect segue to what...
I haven't listened for so long, though.
That's okay. What next week's episode is going to be about.
What's next week's episode going
to
be about?
Next week's episode is going to be about March Madness.
Fuck. Seriously? Are we going to talk about it?
I think
how deep are we going to go?
We'll see.
How deep are we going to go?
So this is a teaser for next week's episode.
Maybe teaser. Like, we will see.
Potentially.
Shit. I didn't think we were going to talk about that.
I think we have to.
Okay. Well, we'll see. That's the thing. Well, at least we're...
To the extent that we want to.
Yeah.
And there's obviously things that we aren't going to talk about.
Well, I don't know what obviously is, because I thought that was an obviously, and now it's obviously not an obviously, so who knows what obviously we will or won't talk about.
So, stay tuned for next week's episode. Okay. March Madness.
It's not about basketball.
It's not. It's definitely it's not. Not about
there's
basketball.
No college brackets here. It's about college basketball.
I know.
That's like the. We did not coin that phrase.
No.
We borrowed it.
We'll tell you what it is. Should we tell them what it is?
No.
Yeah, but.
It's a teaser. Stay tuned.
Sex is involved.
Or not. It's about perspective, babe.
It's about perspective. What else? Because I have to go pee. So we can wrap up or we can continue.
Oh, are we done?
We don't have to be.
No, that's good. Because what else? I don't know. I've got, like I said, a bunch on there. I'm also...
I want to talk about the OA.
You want to talk?
But oh. I think it's too soon.
Is it too soon?
Yeah, because okay. It's been out for a day.
Oh, yeah. We binged it and we've watched it all. We got to give people a chance to watch.
A chance to talk about it before we... Obviously, it'll be caveated with spoiler alert. But I want to talk about the OA. So if you don't know what the OA is, it's on Netflix. There's two seasons. It's a Netflix series.
Yeah. If you have a 9-to-5 job, call in. Just watch it.
Original.
Netflix.
Netflix.
Is that the... I think you just invented a new like porn streaming site. Netflix.
Netflix.
See it? Nobody else can, but just imagine my mind something flexing.
That's wonderfully dorky.
Shut up.
Anyways, go watch the OA if you haven't, because we will be talking about it on future episodes. Because that's massive. So I watched, as I throw my cards, yesterday, Ash and I watched Spider-Verse again.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah, cartoon.
Cartoon.
But he's a grown-ass man with grown-ass kids, doesn't watch cartoons. Continue. Well,
I think it's obvious why I watched Spider-Verse and not fucking Frozen. But that also has multiverse, interdimensional aspects to that story as well.
Yes, it does.
So we were watching it, and I'm like,
"Is that why you picked it? Did you need a little extra dose of dimension?"
I didn't even remember. I mean, I remember liking the show, and if I really thought about the show, I would have remembered that. You have to pee now too, don't you?
I do. You put it in my head.
But that's got some interdimensional traveling, which is a hint, potentially what the OA is about.
Oh, I was like that. March, maybe, never mind.
Yeah, go watch it.
Yeah.
And we'll talk about it on future episodes of the Energy is Love podcast. Anything else?
No.
It's pee time.
Marriage is scary. I'm like, like you got to think about some shit. Like, do not just jump into that.
Your partner is going to change and you are going to change.
Riddle me that, motherfucker. In the event that I start feeling unsafe or if it starts going to shit, I don't want to be stuck. I wanted to be able to go. Well, now I have to sort out my brain.